Chapter 37. It was raining. The lawns looked greener and the reservoir grayer in the dull prospect before the library bay window. Clad in a black training suit with two yellow cushions propped under his head, Vaughn lay reading Ratner on Terra, a difficult and depressing work. Every now and then he glanced at the autumnally talking tall clock above the bald pate of tan tartary as represented on a large old globe in the fading light of an afternoon that would have suited early October better than early July. Ada, wearing an unfashionable belted Macintosh that he disliked, with her handbag on a strap over one shoulder, had gone to Kaluga for the whole day, officially to try on some clothes, unofficially to consult Dr. Krolik's cousin, the gynecologist Seitz, or Zayitz, as she transliterated him mentally, since it also belonged, as Dr. Rabbit did, to the Leporine group in Russian pronunciation. Vaughn was positive that not once during a month of lovemaking had he failed to take all necessary precautions, sometimes rather bizarre, but incontestably trustworthy, and had lately acquired the sheath-like contraceptive device that in Lodore County only barbershops, for some odd but ancient reason, were allowed to sell. Still, he felt anxious and was cross with his anxiety, and Ratner, who half-heartedly denied any objective existence to the sibling planet in his text, but grudgingly accepted it in obscure notes, inconveniently placed between chapters, seemed as dull as the rain that could be discerned slanting in parallel pencil lines against the darker background of a larch plantation, borrowed, Ada contended, from Mansfield Park. At 5:10, Boot quietly came in with a lighted kerosene lamp and an invitation from Marina for a chat in her room. As Boot passed by the globe, he touched it and looked with disapproval at his smudged finger.
"The world is dusty," he said. "Blanche should be sent back to her native village."
"Elle est folle et mauvaise, cette fille."
"Okay, okay," muttered Vaughn, going back to his book. Boot left the room, still shaking his silly cropped head, and Vaughn, yawning, allowed Ratner to slide down from the black divan onto the black carpet. When he looked up again at the clock, it was gathering its strength to strike. He hastily got up from his couch, recalling that Blanche had just come in to ask him to complain to Marina that Mademoiselle Ada had again refused to give her a lift to Beer Tower, as local jokers called her poor village. For a few moments, the brief, dim dream was so closely fused with the real event that even when he recalled Boots putting his finger on the rhomboid peninsula where the Allies had just landed, as proclaimed by the Lodore newspaper spread-eagled on the library table, he still clearly saw Blanche wiping Crimea clean with one of Ada's lost handkerchiefs. He swarmed up the cochlea to the nursery water closet, heard from afar the governess and her wretched pupil recite speeches from the horrible Berenice, a contralto croak alternating with a completely expressionless little voice, and decided that Blanche, or rather Marina, probably wished to know if he had been serious when he said the other day he would enlist at 19, the earliest volunteer age. He also gave a minute's thought to the sad fact that, as he well knew from his studies, the confusion of two realities, one in single, the other in double, quotes, was a symptom of impending insanity. Naked-faced, dull-haired, wrapped up in her oldest kimono, her Pedro had suddenly left for Rio. Marina reclined on her mahogany bed under a golden-yellow quilt, drinking tea with mare's milk, one of her fads.
"Sit down, have a spot of chaiku," she said. "The cow is in the smaller jug, I think." "Yes, it is." And when Vaughn, having kissed her freckled hand, lowered himself on the Ivan Ilyich, a kind of sighing old hassock upholstered in leather, "Vaughn, dear, I wish to say something to you, because I know I shall never have to repeat it again. Belle, with her usual flair for the right phrase, has cited to me the cousinage dangereuse voisinage adage, I always fluff that word, and complained qu'on s'embarrassait dans tous les coins. Is that true?"
Van's mind flushed in advance of his speech. It was, Marina, a fantastic exaggeration. The crazy governess had observed it once when he carried Ada across a brook and kissed her because she had hurt her toe. I'm the well-known beggar in the saddest of all stories.
Erunda.
Nonsense, said Van. She once saw me carrying Ada across a brook and misconstrued our stumbling huddle.
Spotyedushchisya, Silyani.
I do not mean Ada, silly, said Marina with a slight snort as she fussed over the teapot.
Azov, a Russian humorist, derives Erunda from the German hier und da, which is neither here nor there. Ada is a big girl, and big girls, alas, have their own worries. Mademoiselle La Riviere meant Lucette, of course.
Van, those soft games must stop. Lucette is 12 and naive, and I know it's all clean fun, yet, odnyako, one can never behave too delicatno in regard to a budding little woman. Apropos de coin, Ingra Boyadev's Gorya Ot Uma, how stupid to be so clever. A play in verse, written, I think, in Pushkin's time, the hero reminds Sophie of their childhood games and says, how oft we sat together in the corner, and what harm might there be in that? But in Russian it is a little ambiguous. Have another spot. Van?
He shook his head, simultaneously lifting his hand, like his father.
Because, you see, no, there is none left anyway. The second line, Isyetsya chta vitom, can also be construed as, and in that one, meseems, pointing with his finger at a corner of the room. Imagine when I was rehearsing that scene with Kachalov at the Seagull Theater in Yukons. Stanislavsky, Konstantin Sergeyevich, actually wanted him to make that cozy little gesture, Yutenki jest.
How very amusing, said Van. The dog came in, turned up a brimming brown eye Vanward, toddled up to the window, looked at the rain like a little person, and returned to his filthy cushion in the next room.
I could never stand that breed, remarked Van. Dacalophobia.
But girls, do you like girls, Van? Do you have many girls? You are not a pederast like your poor uncle, are you? We have had some dreadful perverts in our ancestry, but why do you laugh?
Nothing, said Van. I just want to put on record that I adore girls. I had my first one when I was 14. Mais comment rendre mon Hélène? She had raven black hair and a skin like skimmed milk. I had lots of much creamier ones later.
Isyetsya cha vitom?
How strange, how sad, because I know hardly anything about your life, my darling, Moidushka. The Zemskys were terrible rakes. Razvratniki. One of them loved small girls, and another, Rafoledin, une de ses jumettes, had her tied up in a special way. Don't ask me how.
Double hand gesture of horrified ignorance.
When he dated her in her stall. Kstyatyi, apropos. I could never understand how heredity is transmitted by bachelors unless genes can jump like chestnuts. I almost beat you last time we played. We must play again. Not today, though. I'm too sad today. I would have liked so much to know everything, everything about you. But now it's too late.
Recollections are always a little stylized, stilizovane, as your father used to say. An irresistible and hateful man. And now, even if you showed me your old diaries, I could no longer whip up any real emotional reaction to them. The wall actresses can shed tears, as I'm doing now. You see, rummaging for her handkerchief under her pillow, when children are still quite tiny, taka malutne, we cannot imagine that we can go without them for even a couple of days, and later we do. And it's a couple of weeks, and later it's months, gray years, black decades, and then the opera bouffe of the Christian's eternity.
I think even the shortest separation is a kind of training for the Elysian Games. Who said that?
I said that.
And your costume, though very becoming, is, in a sense,
trowerny,
funerary.
I'm spouting drivel. Forgive me these idiotic tears.
Tell me, is there anything I could do for you? Do think up something. Would you like a beautiful, practically new Peruvian scarf, which he left behind, that crazy boy? No? Is that your style? Now go. And remember, not a word to poor Mademoiselle La Riviere, who means well.
Ada came back just before dinner time.
Worries?
He met her as she climbed rather wearily the grand staircase, trailing her vanity bag by its strap up the steps behind her.
Worries?
She smelled of tobacco, either because, as she said, she had spent an hour in a compartment for smokers, or had smoked, she added, a cigarette or two herself in the doctor's waiting room, or else because, and this she did not say, her unknown lover was a heavy smoker, his open red mouth full of rolling blue fog.
Well, tu es bien?
Asked Vaughn after a sketchy kiss.
No worries?
She glared or feigned to glare at him.
Vaughn, you should not have rung up Seitz. He does not even know my name. You promised.
Pause. I did not, answered Vaughn quietly.
Tant mieux,
said Ada in the same false voice as he helped her out of her coat in the corridor.
Oui, tout est bien. Will you stop sniffing me over, dear Vaughn? In fact, the blessed thing started on the way home. Let me pass, please.
Worries of her own? Of her mother's automatic making? A casual banality? We all have our troubles?
Ada,
he cried. She looked back before unlocking her always locked door.
What? Tuzenba, not knowing what to say, I have not had coffee today, tell them to make me some. Quickly walks away.
Very funny,
said Ada, and locked herself up in her room.